Grace, peace, and joy from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall hear the holy word of God from the Gospel of John from chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew him himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in a number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Amen. During the morning worship service, we heard of the events when the apostles were invited to follow the Lord Jesus. They were on the shore of Lake Genesareth. Likewise, this familiar and dear narrative of the Bible takes place on the shore of the Sea of Genesareth. Jesus had sent his disciples on a speaking trip, and they had returned, and they had barely had time to rest and eat, and the services continued. Furthermore, they brought a message to Jesus about the death of John the Baptist, and that's when Jesus gathered his disciples and said, Let us go to a private place to rest a little. This is important that we remember, even at our homes, to take time out for the family. If it feels like you've been too busy, you can stop, pause, and rest just within your family. Jesus takes the apostles into a boat. It was a big boat. I once saw a boat inside of a shed that was so big that it could take 2 horses across a river. And I believe that this boat must have been of the same size when Jesus told the apostles to come onto the boat. And there was quite a few of them, and they all fit on the boat. And so they went on this trip, this retreat. They didn't cross the Lake of Genesareth completely, but it was clear that they had retreated into a private place. But wouldn't you know it, there were people along the shore. This is a deep lake, which is below the sea level. And they said that this was surrounded. There were there was a ring of nine cities around this lake. In addition to these cities, there were many coastal villages. So the people looked across the lake and said, "That looks like a familiar boat." And they wondered, "Is that Peter's or James's?" And they counted how many people there were on that boat. And they counted 13 adults on that boat. And so it became clear that it was Jesus with his 12 disciples going somewhere. And the Bible says the people suddenly were in a hurry. They knew where Jesus was going, and they started to run. They started to start on this trip coming from different towns. This story is told in the four different Gospels. We read it from the Gospel of John, but all of the four Gospels form a overall picture of this miraculous event. And when Jesus saw this group of people coming toward him, the Bible says that Jesus thought that they were like a sheep without a shepherd, and he pardoned them. There was no time to take a vacation. But the most important thing was there, because Jesus, right on the shore there, began to heal the sick. They would never have had enough strength to travel up the mountain, and a lot of people were carried to Jesus. There was a lot of people, as our text says. We noticed from our text that there were 5,000 men. And there weren't just men, so maybe there was just as many women and, of course, children. This lets us know, this indicates that this must have been an event similar to summer services. The Bible speaks about many of these kinds of events, even from the Old Testament, when people gathered into large services. When the Lord Jesus healed the sick, the Bible tells us that he spoke about the kingdom of God. This is the most important thing that man should seek on earth. So, of course, Jesus is going to talk about the most important thing. And then when the day went on, at some point, Jesus rose up onto the side of the mountain and a large group of people followed him. John writes that Jesus rose up on the hillside and began to... It was the fat Passover, a feast of the Jews was nine. Why did John write that the Passover feast was nigh? This was a miracle when Jesus... This miracle when Jesus shared bread with everyone is related to the time when the Jews were preparing for Passover, which was a time of unleavened bread. And so people had cleaned out all of the unleavened bread from their houses, which is what God had decreed. If you mothers or grandmothers could tell your children more about this baking. But God had wanted to bring this matter of faith so close to people that it was in the bread, it was in the baking, it was in the dough to describe what was sin and what was the righteousness of God. This unleavened bread, which we could call ruisleipä in our language, even then, as it is today, it was made quite often in a wooden bowl, and there may be a little bit of old dough at the bottom of this bowl. And this helps to make the dough ready, rise. And so it is that when a person wishes to repent and there is some old dough in the bottom of his bowl and he doesn't want to put all of his sins away, this is not acceptable to God. How mankind would like to take a little bit of sinful life into the bowl of their hearts, but they would like to own God's grace. But the apostles writes, clean away the old unleavened bread. But we all, brothers and sisters, from old to young, we should understand that we must repent of sin, and the grace of God teaches us to give away or to break away from sin. But this unleavened bread, this is a metaphor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there would be some similar metaphor for us living here in Scandinavia. Maybe it would be Ruiz or Rieska or something, which is very quick and easy to bake. It doesn't have any influence from the old bread. It is like the Lord Jesus Christ, the living bread. But here when it says that Jesus lifted up his gaze and watched the large group of people coming, he asked Philip, where could we buy some bread so that they could eat? And this he asked to try Philip because he knew the answer. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. It had already been evening. Evening had come. And the question was how to feed them. The other gospel writes that Jesus exhorted the disciples, you guys go feed them. But the disciples did not have enough food to feed them. And so it is today. We servants of the Word of God don't have anything of ourselves to give to the children of God. And so when we said of Philip that God tries us, but God also wants to teach us, Jesus wanted to teach the apostles about the kingdom of God when he said that he knew what he would do. When the apostles didn't have anything to give them, Jesus sent them among the people and told them to ask, do you have any bread? And so the apostles left and began to investigate among the people. And what did the people answer? They said, we don't have anything. Nope, we have cleaned out all of the unleavened bread, or all the leavened bread. And they said that we had to leave here in such of a rush that we don't have anything. What a good thing it is that there is a hurry or a rush to the services. I wish everyone in Northern Finland would have had a rush or a hurry to come to hear the Word of God. But then they said the beautiful words. When Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Imagine, from the group of people, a small boy steps forward. I wonder how young this boy is. I have often wondered how young he was. I wonder if he was about 12, but the Bible mentions quite often boys that were around 12, which is about the age of confirmation in Israel at the time. But here it says, a little lad, And in the old translation, it says, a little boy. When I used to think about this so much that one time I asked an old travel brother who had become familiar with this topic, and he began to study this. And in the most original language, in Greek, it says, the word is very similar to the words small boy. So we're talking about a small boy. And we could say that he had a childlike understanding. You have to be pretty childish to try to offer 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and give them to Jesus. There would be no adult who would ever do something like that. They would say, don't even think about it, that's not enough. But with the child, faith of a child, you can get to heaven. This little boy gives this big manly fisherman, whose name was Andrew, whose name means manly. He was a big grizzly man, and coming up to him was a small blue-eyed or a clear-eyed boy. I wonder if he felt like, I'm going to be laughed at my whole life because I'm bringing this amount of food to teach the whole flock of people. But Andrew is nevertheless obedient, brings them to Jesus, and Jesus says, bring them here. We don't know anything more about that little boy. But what a beautiful lesson it was for the disciples, because there were a lot of people there who didn't understand Jesus' teaching. But this was a lesson about the kingdom of God, and so it is even today. This is a children of kingdom, and even here there is a collection of childlike people. And everyone, every child on earth belongs to the kingdom of God. All small children fall under the grace arm of God. And then Jesus blessed this bread, thanked God, and imagine there was enough bread or food for everyone. And Jesus had said, you give them bread. And now the apostles had a job, and there was enough fish and bread for everyone. And they performed this work as messengers, and everyone became fed, this whole large mass of people that was there. A few more words about blessing and thanking for food. How important it is that we would thank for our food, and that we would eat our food with thanks. But the bread of heaven has been even more important here than the breads and soups offered here at summer services. And even though we all more or less love ice cream and other treats, those are all side issues relative to the forgiveness of sin. Even today, the Lord Jesus Christ wishes to be feeding us. Even afterward, there was a perfect gospel left over, 12 pieces and 12 fragments. And the bread was broken into fragments or crumbs, and it is still the same case today. The bread is fragmented into pieces. Believe, brothers and sisters, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And parents, bless your children. In Jesus' name and blood, brothers and sisters, all travel faults and mistakes forgiven. We are on a confident journey. On this journey, the food will not run out. It is the blessing of Isaac and Jacob. We do not have to worry about whether the believer is blessed when we know he is a child of God. There is nothing to worry about in ourselves. When a believer forgives us, we truly believe that the blessing comes from heaven itself, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself lowers his hand on us. This is the kind of free kingdom that we have. Brothers and sisters, let us continue by singing songs of the journey, just as we sang, Jesus, only Jesus. It is good to travel when our hearts are cleaned, to travel with the heavenly bread, to have a free conscience, remain believing in God's holy care. Can I still believe? I wish to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.